Father, we thank you for the time now that we can listen, we can hear what you have for us. Lord, it is a tough day because we remember your death. So Lord, I want us to be able to understand it fully, to put ourselves in the disciples' place, to hear what they heard and to experience what they experienced and to understand fully what they went through during this time. We pray now for your understanding, that your Spirit would fill us now and soften our hearts to hear this message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we talk about Good Friday. It's kind of a strange title to put on the day that Jesus died. But, you know, it was a good thing that happened for us. And Jesus, if you remember, in Hebrews it said, looking at the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. And so, for him, it was a time of just realizing, understanding, seeing the results of what his sacrifice would be. And knowing the countless people who would trust him as their Savior and their lives would change. But I want us to put ourselves in the disciples' place. I want us to think about this in a way that would bring it to a reality. They'd gotten to know Jesus for approximately 3 years. They had seen his heart. They heard his teachings. They experienced the miracles, which must have been pretty crazy. I mean, can you imagine knowing there's a guy that hasn't walked for his entire life, and Jesus walked up to him and tells him, you know, pick up your bed and walk. The guy gets up and walks away. Or someone blind from birth, and Jesus just touches him and he can see. Leprosy healed, and the craziest, amazing thing, going to Lazarus' tomb, say, you know, pull the stone back. I mean, I could just see me doing something like that. Open up the casket. You know, let's dig this body up. I mean, that would be crazy. And the disciples saw it, experienced it. And they traveled with him. They ate with him. I don't know, but if you were with someone for 3 years and you ate with that person, basically lived with that person, traveled around with that person, saw them do all the things that they did, and then you watch him get ripped away from you at night, taken to the Sanhedrin, basically court, and think about it now. This is not in the daytime. This is not during the morning. This is not a time when normal court is held. This is at night when everybody's usually asleep and they're doing this in almost a secretive way. They beat him. They ridiculed him, laughed at him, cursed at him, and then nailed him to a cross. Now, we have sanitized the cross in paintings and images. We've sanitized it because it was not pretty. It was the most humiliating death, execution, let me call it, that ever could be. It was the most despised way for a person to be put to death. They were devastated because they weren't just stripped down to the underwear. They were stripped. And then they can't even use any of their body to hide their nakedness because their hands are nailed and their feet are nailed. So there you are, exposed, humiliated, beaten, bleeding. It was the most humiliating and devastating way. And then to be associated as a criminal, because criminals and rebels were murdered this way. I mentioned last Sunday and other times that the Roman government sometimes crucified hundreds at one time. They would line the streets coming into the town just as a sign, don't cross the line. Jesus was determined to be innocent by Pilate. Pilate washed his hands, said, I don't want anything to do with this. This is an innocent man. He's done nothing wrong. Spoken about love, spoken about the kingdom of God, spoken about all the things that we want to know about. And then these guys, these disciples, these 12 guys, they left their jobs, they left their homes, they left their families, they left their security. You know, you think about it, Peter and John and the guys that were fishermen, you know, they had to fish to bring money in to support their family. And we know that Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law, you know, and they lived all together, and he was supporting them. And now he drops all that and follows Jesus. Three years of his life are now gone. And Jesus now has been ripped away. He's watching from a distance as he's beaten and laughed at and ridiculed. And he denies them 3 times. Wow. Jesus' death rocked the country. A historian named Josephus even wrote that Jesus was a good man, crucified. But the disciples did not abandon him. Now that was in the near future. It says, reports that he appeared to them, and the tribe of Christians, he called them, still follow to this day. So even the historian recounted how Jesus died. He was crucified. He was a good man, though, and he was crucified. And that afterwards he did appear to the tribe of Christians. You know, even after Jesus was executed like a despised criminal in front of crowds of people, and they yelled at him, if you're the Messiah, save yourself. Isn't that like us, like people? You know, we had no idea, they had no idea who he was and what he came for. You see, they didn't realize that he was there to save them. And getting off the cross or saving himself was not to be, because that would defeat the purpose of why he came. Jesus gave up his life, and I want us to go to the scriptures now. 1633 in your pew Bibles, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Starting in verse 14, Jesus talking about the good shepherd, which he's talking about himself. And he says in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. Now jump down to 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. He tells him again, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, the other sheep that he's talking about too are us. Haven't been saved yet. But he lays down his own life. In chapter 19 of John, you'll see that explained a little more fully. Chapter 19, if you flip down a few pages, starting in verse 8. And, well, we can skip up this verse 6, actually. As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him. Crucify." And Pilate answered, he says, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." Verse 8, Pilate heard this. He was even more afraid. Pilate was afraid. What was wrong with him? He went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate says, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or crucify you?" In verse 11, Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Nobody had any power over Jesus. Jesus gave up his life. You know, what really got me was in Matthew. I want you to go there. Matthew chapter 26. This was pretty amazing. And we've heard about it, but we maybe haven't known exactly where the scripture was. Well, it's Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 51. A long chapter. Verse 51. And Jesus was betrayed and arrested, and in verse 51 it says, "With that, one of Jesus' companions," I think it was Peter, we find out later, "reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear." We saw in other accounts that Jesus healed that ear and told him to put the sword away, in verse 52. "In its place, Jesus said to him, 'For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?' But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" Well, if I were Jesus, of course, he's righteous and I wouldn't be, I'd go, "Let me just show you what you have facing you." And I'd have had all the angels surrounding me with the sword drawn, looking really tough. You know, the belt around the hat and the, you know, just make a move. You're dead. Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have just said, "You know what? I've had enough of this. The human race isn't worth it. Take care of it." And those legions of angels would have wiped out humanity. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Its pain, its humiliation, all the things that the cross symbolized, Jesus gave his life for you and me, dying a most horrible death. So why do we complain so much? Why do we blame God so quickly? Why, like the disciples, do we abandon him so easily? Can we not endure a life of discomfort? A little pain? A little humility in our lives? And sometimes we've been humiliated or we've been embarrassed about something. I could recount stories to you about my most embarrassing moments. And I've had a bunch of them. You know, can't I endure some of those? You know, some of the pain I've gone through, you know, I've been human and complain, you know, "Why is this going on?" But he endured the cross and a humiliation beyond what I could ever imagine. You know, surely we can live for him since he died for us. There's a song that I'd like to do just to illustrate that more.